Man, what a powerful song there at the end of the worship. Yahweh. You know, the people of Israel wouldn't even hardly speak that name. They wanted to serve and worship the God, but they would often, you know, become prosperous and they would drift away from Him. And then they would want to hear from God. They would want to know why God had distanced Himself from them. And one of the things that we, you know, as we begin this series, discerning the voice of God, we often experience the same thing. You know, we'll go through a season and maybe we get to the point where we just feel like we can't hear from God. Maybe God has distanced Himself. And there's times when maybe God does distance Himself from us because of habitual sin or maybe because of other things taking the focus and worshiping something other than Him. And so I want us to look at this series that we're going to be in for the next few weeks is, you know, how do we discern? How do we know that it's God when He's speaking to us? And there's plenty of crazy people that say, man, God told me to do this. And they'll go out and do horrible things. They'll take lives. They'll do all kinds of things and they'll blame it on God. So how do we discern the voice of God? How do we determine? How do we know that it's God? And so there's a passage that we're going to look at today. Instead of John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. And this is Jesus talking. And Jesus just got through teaching to the crowds that He was the good shepherd. It's where we hear the passage where He says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, but I've come that they might have life. And what He's saying, He said, I'm the good shepherd. He said, the sheep will hear my voice. They'll respond. He says, I'm the gate. In other words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And he's being real clear, but the people were a little bit confused. So they come to Him again asking some questions. And He's talked about how, you know, if it's just a hired hand, He'll take off running when the wolves come, but not the shepherd. He's there for them. And so they follow Him. And anyway, there's another conversation that says, now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. And then the Jews surrounded Him and said to Him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice and know them. I know them and they follow me. And as I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one. And so here's Jesus talking. He's saying, hey, listen, my sheep hear my voice. And I know if most of us, if I were to go around the room, I could ask you, hey, listen, is there ever a time in the Bible where God spoke to His people or God spoke to someone? And if I were to ask you, hey, what are some of the ways that you remember? Many of us would think about the burning bush with Moses. You know, we would think about other times, you know, the speaking through a donkey. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that God spoke through the Scriptures. You know, He would speak over and over in different ways. He would speak in ways that would, you know, kind of shock us and take us back. You know, one of the things we think about with Elijah on the mountainside, it says that the windstorm came by and it shook it to where literally the rocks were falling off the mountain. But God was not in the windstorm. And then the fire, and God was not in the fire, but then there was a small, gentle whisper. And He goes out to the edge of the cave and the Lord speaks to him. So God would speak throughout Scripture over and over and over again. And then we get to the New Testament and we see where God chooses to send His Son Jesus, who would give up His divine privileges in heaven to come and be able to communicate and speak the gospel of Christ. And He would provide the way. He would tell us the way. And even here you hear them saying, why will you not tell us? He said, tell us plainly. He said, I did. I told you. And so God's speaking all through Christ. Every time that we see Jesus speaking in the Scriptures, it's God speaking to us. But too often we sit around and we want to hear, we go, you know, God, I want to hear what you have to say. And there's many times God's already spoke to us about stuff. And there's often times that we want to hear from God. You know, you ever have those moments where you're just saying, God, I need to know, what do you want me to do in this situation? Maybe it's a dating situation. You think, you know, God, is this the right one? Is this who I'm supposed to marry? God, what do I do with this job? I've got this job offer. Do I take this job offer? God, I want to be in your will. I want to know, God, I need to hear from you. And oftentimes it's things like that. But there's other things that God has spoke to us about, and He's clearly communicated to us about it. Sometimes we just don't want to hear. There were two men, they were walking down the street in a busy city. And the one guy, he stops and he goes, "Man, do you hear that?" He goes, "That," he said, "do you hear that cricket?" He said, "Here, do you hear him chirping?" He was like, "Man, how in the world can you hear that cricket chirping in the middle of all this chaos? Cars going by, buses going by, horns being beat, people talking, people walking." He goes, "How in the world do you hear that?" And the guy, you know, he was a biologist, and so he had an interest in that. He'd been trained to hear different things and different insects and birds and all those kind of things. So he was just drawn to it. And the guy goes, "How in the world can you hear that?" And so the guy reaches into his pocket. He pulls out a bunch of change and he throws it on the ground. And all of a sudden, everybody stops and starts looking around and kind of checking their pockets. And he said, "You see," he said, "people hear what they want to hear." Everybody heard the coins hit the ground because their ear was, "Hey, it's all about the coin, the money." And so what happens is too often we hear what we want to hear. We hear what we want to hear. How many of you have ever been told that you have selective hearing? Anybody? Yeah. You know, there's times I can remember, you know, my kids and my wife have told me that I have selective hearing. I hear what I want to hear, and sometimes I hear what they don't want me to hear. Does that ever happen with y'all? Yeah. And so we hear what we want to hear. And so oftentimes our focus and our attention, you know, man, it's on other things, not necessarily God. So we say we want to hear from God, but we really don't want to put in the time, the effort, and the energy that we might need to do that. And so we want to hear, you know, we hear what we want to hear. And so we become selective in our hearing. You know, there's things that we don't want to hear. We kind of dial those out. It's kind of like when someone's talking to you, it's easy sometimes to dial them out. If it's boring, you start thinking about other things. That's not real good communication skills, not really good relationship skills. But some of you, probably all of you in the room, have been guilty of that at some point. Yeah, but you hear what you want to hear. And whenever they say, "Well, listen, I'm going to have to run," you're like, "Oh, I heard that. Okay, cool. Good to see you, man. You have a good day." Right? We hear what we want to hear, and we have a tendency to do that. And there's a statement here that says one of the most obvious reasons we don't hear from God is we're not listening. Have your parents ever said to you, or have you ever said, "Are you listening to me?" I mean, you just got through talking, and it's like they're not listening. It's like they have checked out. I mean, I've watched parents do it. I've done it with my kids. I'm like, "Hey, are you listening to me? Tell me what I just said." And they can't tell you half of it, right? Because they weren't what? They weren't listening. They heard parts of it, and then they start hearing blah, 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 right? I was down here earlier, and Benton and Donna were asking me a question, and they kept saying, and I was like, "What?" And I down here, it was just kind of, with everybody talking and stuff, I told him, I said, when I got up here, I said, "All I could hear was blah, 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 blah." And he goes, "That's what we were saying." And so anyway, that's what, for a lot of us, that's what we, you know, we just kind of dial things out. We're not tuned in to that frequency, to what they're saying. And so a lot of times, you know, we're just not listening. We're not listening at all. We're not, we say, "God, I want to hear from you," but we're not really listening. We get in, you know, our attention goes somewhere else. This passage here, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Most of us would agree with that and go, "Yes, man, you know, he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever." Well, here's the thing. He spoke and he still speaks. Jesus was God in flesh. Last week, Pastor Rick Hagin's talked about the Mount of Transfiguration. And he said this is one of the only times we see in Scripture where his divinity overshadowed his humanity. So here's the thing about that is Jesus was fully God, but yet fully man. And in that instant there, it's like his divinity overshadowed his humanity. He became glowing, you know, and they were the disciples were taken back, and they were like, "Wow, this is a cool thing. We need to stay here." But the thing was just to come down off the mountaintop to where the people were at to do ministry. And so whenever we look back at that, we realize, you know what? Jesus was fully God. He was fully God, but yet fully man. And so, you know, it's kind of like the old story that's been told about the guy who his kids were and his wife were going to a Christmas special. And he didn't want to go. And he thought it was just the dumbest thing. Call him an atheist, whatever you want to call him. But man, he was like, "You know, I just think it's the dumbest thing." And he's got these snowbirds that are out there and they're freezing in the snow. And he looks out and he says, "Man, if they would just, you know, if there was some way that I could help those snowbirds kind of come into the warmth of the garage." So he goes out and he kind of lays out the Hansel and Gretel breadcrumbs and he leads them up to the garage and they won't come in. He's got it up high enough where they could come in where there's warmth in there. And so he tries everything. He says, "Man, if I could just become a bird for a moment, I could communicate with them." He said, and all of a sudden it was that epiphany moment. He realized, he said, God became one of us so that he could communicate with us. So that's what Jesus is. God leaving his privilege of heaven to come and communicate the truth of who he was, how to be in right standing with God. And so that's what Jesus, his commitment was to do that. Look at this passage out of Isaiah 55:3. It says, "Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life." Come to me with your ears wide open and listen, and you will find life. A statement here, it says, do you really think Jesus loved you enough to die for you, but not enough to talk to you? I mean, do you think that he loved you enough to go to the cross, to bleed out, to be beaten, to be scourged, to have his back literally turned into hamburger, and then go and be nailed to a cross and to die and to pour out his blood for your sins and to pay for everything that you've ever done wrong, and so that you could be in right standing with God, but never, not enough to talk to you, to communicate to you, to speak things into your life, to speak truth into you? He loves you. You know, you think about a shepherd. You know, like I said in this passage up here, Jesus is the good shepherd. And you think about, what does that shepherd do? Maybe he played, you know, a musical instrument or whatever for the sheep while they're resting or whatever. Maybe he talked to them. Maybe he sang to them. I mean, you're sitting out on these starry hillsides, you know, and you're watching your sheep, you're protecting them. I'm sure there are times that he would talk to them. Probably even, maybe even named them. You know, because if you love someone, you're going to communicate with them. You're going to spend time with them. And so you've got to understand that, you know, God, Jesus has not changed. God has not changed. And so if he spoke through the scriptures and he spoke throughout the history that we have here of his creation and all that we are, he was speaking all along the way, communicating. And he speaks in a lot of different ways. And we're going to look at that through this series. We're going to look at some of the ways that God speaks. But one of the main things that we've got to get to the point of, we got to get to the point where we want to hear from him. And too often we really don't want to hear from him. Have you ever asked somebody that you really don't want to hear their answer? You ever ask them a question? You really don't want to hear their answer, but you feel like, you know, I probably need to ask anyway. And you know, and you may even know what they're going to say, but you're thinking, you know, I don't want to hear it, but I'll ask. And I think sometimes we approach God that way. We approach God with, you know, God, I know what your word says, but hey, is there something different here? A young girl wrote a few years ago, she was surrendered to the ministry, actually. She had given her life to the Lord. She had come to know him. She'd gotten involved in a relationship. She felt like God was calling her into missions and ministry. And anyway, she got involved in a relationship, and the relationship began to get more and more promiscuous, and they kind of kept testing the boundary. And before long, they were having sex and outside of marriage, and it was not the right thing to be doing. And she wrote to her pastor and her youth pastor, and she said, you know, she goes, I really feel like this is different. I really feel like that, you know, this relationship is different. And I think maybe that the Bible is wrong in this area. And what she was doing, she was justifying her sin. Here's the thing. She knew what God taught her. She knew what the scriptures taught. But she began to say, I don't want to hear what it says if it's going to cost me in this area of my life, in this relationship that I'm in. I don't really want to hear that. And there's times maybe that we come in here that we don't want to hear certain things. I remember one night I was in a dating relationship with a girl, and we came to church and we were sitting there, and you know, and it was just one of those things where I knew in my spirit, you know, I didn't need to be in that relationship. And when we walked outside, you know, we were walking to the car, and she said something like, you're wanting to break up with me, aren't you? And I was like, dang, how'd she know that? That's pretty good. You know, and I said, as a matter of fact, we need to talk about that. She goes, that's the reason I hate church. She goes, that's the reason I hate church. That was the main reason I need to break up with a girl. But anyway, she goes, that's the reason I hate church, because I knew you were going to say that. And I'm sitting there thinking, she didn't want to hear what was being said in there. She didn't want to hear what was being said, you know, from the Word of God and from the teaching of God's Word. And there's times that we do that, don't we? I don't want to hear that. God, I don't want to hear what you have to say. God, I don't care if I'm supposed to love my neighbor. I don't want to hear that. And there are times we get to that point. There's a statement over here. It's kind of a no-brainer. When Jesus speaks, we need to listen. I know that's a no-brainer, and I know it's easy to say it, but you know what? I think there's times we choose not to. We keep looking, kind of like the young girl that was in the dating relationship. She begins to look for something else. Maybe Jesus said something. Maybe he gives me an opt-out. Maybe he gives me something different to consider. But says, again, he says, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, the same passage from John chapter 10 up here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I might, if I were you, maybe you want to underline that section where it says, they follow me. See, my sheep, they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Now, here's the thing. We talk about being believers, being followers of Christ. And here Jesus talks about they follow me. And there's times that we call ourselves Christians, we call ourselves men believers, but what about followers? We believe that Jesus died on the cross. We believe that He bled out. We believe that He was resurrected. We believe that He was the Son of God. But do we follow His teaching? Do we follow Him? So that's a question maybe we ought to ask. You know, because it's easy to say, hey, I'm a Christian. That's kind of a tag. It's kind of something that has become real popular. But yet, it doesn't carry any real credibility in some circles. But whenever you're a follower of Christ and you're following His teaching, it's a little bit different. Because people say, you know what, I can tell they're followers. They're like Jesus. They do like Jesus. They love like Jesus. They serve like Jesus. They care for people like Jesus did. And so as a follower, He says, my sheep, I know them. In other words, He has a relationship with them, and they follow me. So it's not about just coming to church. It's not about being a member of a church, but it's about being a follower of Christ. And here's the thing. He says that they will know His voice. And so when God speaks, do you hear Him? Do you respond? And here's the thing, do you follow Him? There's a passage here out of Philippians 2, 6 and 7. It says, though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Jesus left all that He had to come and dwell among us, to be able to communicate with us clearly how to be in right standing with God, how to have a right relationship, how to be able to become righteous and holy and be able to stand before God blameless, not because of anything that we have done, but because of what He has done. So He would literally leave heaven and all that He had to become a slave, to go to the cross to die for us, to be raised in a carpenter's house and be willing to walk as we have walked and experience all that we have experienced. And the Bible says that He did all those things without sin. And so Jesus paved the way. There's a statement here that says, the person who doesn't trust Christ as Savior is missing the one essential, necessary ingredient to connect and hear from God. So if we're here today and you're thinking, man, I want to hear from God, really, ultimately, the key to the whole thing is to have a relationship with Christ. It's to have a relationship with Christ, which allows us to be able to connect with the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so if you don't get anything else out of this whole series, maybe if you can pick up on that one thing, man, I need a relationship with Christ because it will change everything. And it will. It changes your eternal destiny. It changes your daily walk. It changes everything whenever we put our faith in Christ. And so Jesus Christ is the key to the whole solution. It's the key to hearing. It's kind of like, man, if you want dial tone with God, then you have to dial in to who Christ is. You have to be willing to say, Jesus, I want to connect with you. And whenever we realize who we are and how broken we are. I mean, think about today. Just today, this morning, some of you have already tumbled and rolled in sin. Maybe it was an argument with someone. Maybe you had bitterness, anger, and rage inside of you already today. Listen, that happens sometimes on Sunday morning, doesn't it? Or maybe it was last night. Something that you did that you know was sinful. Maybe it was a lustful thought or a lustful image or whatever it might have been. Maybe it was a movie or a show or something that you watched. Maybe it was a relationship. Or maybe something, some physical act that you engaged in that you know does not honor God. And so it puts you at odds with God. Whenever our sin puts us at odds with God, we need someone who can save us from ourselves and from our sin. And so to be able to hear from God, first and foremost, we have to have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Look at this passage here out of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, 14. It says, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. See, that's kind of what Jesus was saying earlier to the crowd who follows Him. And said, hey, listen, tell us plainly. Just tell us plainly. Speak to us plainly about what has happened. Are you truly the Messiah? He says, I've already told you that. I've already told you that. And so one of the things that we see is that Jesus is, He's saying, hey, listen, you have to have the Spirit of God within you. And for many of us in this room, there's things that we will say, there's things that are said out in the public or whatever, and there are certain people that it will not register. You have to have the Spirit of the living God living within you to truly understand the things of God. Have you ever been talking with someone who was not a believer and you try to explain things and they go, man, I just don't get it. And they don't because they don't have the Spirit of God living within them. We call the Holy Spirit who lives within us the counselor, teacher, comforter. I mean, we could go on and on, but those are the things that He is. And so whenever the things of God are spoken to us, we hear because of what the Spirit says. Let me read that passage again. But people who aren't spiritual, in other words, they don't have the Spirit of the living God living in them, can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them. And there are things that, you know, you just go, man, I just don't get it. I don't understand. It sounds foolish to me. Maybe you don't have the Spirit of the living God living within you. Maybe you've never put your faith in Christ. It doesn't matter if you've gone to church your whole life. It doesn't matter if you were raised in the church. It doesn't matter how long you've been sitting here. What matters is, where do you stand in that relationship? Do you have a relationship? See, there's people that we've met in our life that we would call acquaintances. That we've met them, but man, we don't really know them. And there's some people in here that you know, people that, man, you have a relationship. Maybe you've grown up with them. You know everything about them. Maybe it's a best friend. You know everything good and bad about them. But you've got some people that are just acquaintances. That maybe you've just met them one time at a party, or met them one time at a conference, or met them one time somewhere. And so all you have is a name, and that's about it. Well, ask yourself, is that where I am in my relationship with Christ? Are we just acquaintances? Or are we in an intimate relationship to where I love Him and His love is made evident to all through me? So are you an acquaintance with Christ, or are you in a relationship with Christ? So those things are critical. And so we've got to understand that, you know, number one is we hear what we want to hear. So we got to say, you know, God, maybe make a choice today. Say, God, I want to hear from you. And let me just tell you this, it's going to be a process as we move through this. It's a process. It's not like all of a sudden you're able to hear things. You know, even like this past week, just in preparing for this message, there's been times where I would just sit still and I would try to get my ear to dial into one thing so I could hear it, whether it was a clock ticking, you know, or the fan making a noise or whatever. And here's the thing, is it takes a little while to dial into something. It takes a little while. And if I were to ask you just to be still for a minute to listen for something, and maybe all of you in here would listen for something different. So let's just take about 15 seconds. And I just want you to listen and see if there's anything that sticks out to you that all of a sudden you hear it that you didn't hear it before. Close your eyes for a second. See if it intensifies. All right. What'd you hear? Did you hear the air conditioning? Did you hear somebody snoring? That happens in here, by the way. But what happens is, man, we have to be intentional about that. So I've sat this past week just a couple of times just trying to hear something above all else. And I'll tell you this, you have to train yourself to do it. You have to be intentional about doing that. So listening requires us to be intentional. Listening requires us to be intentional. It's taking the time to do that. And see, I don't know what maybe kind of distractions you might have in life, but it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to kind of have chaos and noise all around us. Look at this great passage here out of Ecclesiastes. And maybe you've never read this passage before, but listen to what it is talking about here when we enter the house of God. It says, as you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. It is evil to make mindless offerings to God. That is pretty clear directive there. It is evil to make mindless offerings to God. Don't make rash promises, and don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. After all, God is in heaven, and you are here on earth. So let your words be few. Too much activity gives you restless dreams, and too many words make you a fool. When you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to Him. That's pretty direct. So think about that. We come into church sometimes. We gather, you know, and a lot of people would say, hey, this is the house of God. Truly, this is the house of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the house of God. When we gather corporately, we become a gathering of believers, of followers of Christ. And therefore, this becomes a special place, a house of God, if you would. So whenever you enter in, how do you prepare? Like, one of the things I always challenge our worship team and our praise team and our production team, you know, is, I mean, let's make sure our hearts are pure, that our hearts are right for today, that we're ready to worship. Because we can come in here and we can be in such a rat race all week long and maybe even distracted by a lot of things. And we come in here, it's almost like, man, I wish they would hurry up. Boy, you know, I need to get on out of here. And it becomes that, you know, we're not focused on hearing from God. We're really not even focused when it comes to the worship. Too often what we'll do is we'll sit there and we'll go, you know, that's not my favorite song. And we miss what the lyrics say. This past week, just listening to a couple of songs on the radio, I've tried to, and it's just one of those things you have to be intentional about, is listening. And so I'm one of those where I like the beat of a song, or I like the sound of a song, but I think the lyrics are so powerful sometimes. So this past week, you know, I was just listening to a couple of songs about faith and about slowing down. One of the most popular songs on the radio right now is Johnny Diaz, Breathe. And it's talking about how there's this rat race and there's this rush, and sometimes you just got to slow down and just breathe. Just understand who He is. Just be still. And that's hard for us to do. Even coming in here on Sunday morning, maybe you were late getting here and you're trying to get here on time. You're trying to get here, you know, at a certain point, or trying to get the kids checked in. And all of a sudden you get in here and it's just hard to slow down. But you have to be intentional. So maybe this week what you ought to do is, if you listen to K-Love or any of the Christian music. Now here's the thing. I'll say this. If some of the other music that you listen to, if you listen to some of the lyrics on it, you might question why you listen to it. You might say, I just like the beat, like whatever, you know, because I remember using that a lot whenever I was a teenager. Like, oh, I just like the music. I like the beat. But what it said was pretty corrupt. And so maybe you ought to listen to it. Listen to some of what you listen to and what you're bringing into your mind and into your heart. Maybe next time you watch TV, think about what you're allowing in visually and verbally. But think about, just take some time this week to maybe listen to the songs, not just for the beat, but listen to the lyrics and what they say. There's some powerful stuff out there. One of the things I love is that God gives us new songs and new worship songs. It always blows my mind how God will bring this song that just, you know, it just rocks the whole community. And you're like, you know, how does God always just come up with new songs and new talents, new voices? But if we'll listen, He's still speaking. If we'll listen, He's still calling. If we'll listen and be intentional about it. So let me read this again. It says, as you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. It is evil, and that's strong right there, to make mindless offerings to God. Mindless offerings. So when we just do the songs and we don't think about what we're saying, are those mindless offerings? We just kind of go through the motions of doing church. Are those kind of, have no thought put into it, just kind of mindless offerings? Don't make rash promises and don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. See, there's an approach that we're to take in coming into the presence of God. Sometimes we belittle who He is by how we treat Him. Last week we showed a preview, if you would, of the series. And I heard a lot of people say, well, man, that's kind of scary, kind of spooky sounding. If you look back in the scriptures, have you noticed how scared the people were when God did speak? They trembled with fear. They would fall on their face. And so here's the thing. Sometimes I think we just haphazardly run into prayer. We haphazardly run into the presence of God. Whenever scripture says that we ought to be careful about how we approach God. He is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is still Alpha and Omega. He is still over all things. And sometimes we belittle God to where He's just like, God, I need you to help me out with this task I've got to do today. And so maybe there ought to be a little bit of fear and trembling as we enter into His presence and approach Him. Maybe out of reverence and out of awe of who He is, rather than flippantly approaching God. Don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. After all, God is in heaven and you are here on earth. So let your words be few. Now let me ask you, in your time alone with God, does that sound like your time alone with God, that your words are few? Or are you talking, praying, and not listening a whole lot? You've been around somebody that talks, and man, you know, the old joke is, man, you can't get a word in edgewise. You ever been around somebody like that? Anybody in here like that? No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to raise your hand. Some people like to talk. I mean, they just talk, and you're just sitting there, and you're just waiting for a break. Like, hey, you're just trying to get in there to say something. Sometimes just to stop them, man, so they can take a breath or whatever. But the thing is we often approach God like that, don't we? We go in for our time in prayer, and we're just talking. We've got our list. We've got all these people that are sick. We've got all this stuff that is going on. We've got this job situation. We've got this dating situation. We've got children. We've got all this stuff that we've got to bring before Him. We're trying to cram it into sometimes 5, 10, 15 minutes, and there's no time to listen. So what we have to do is we have to be willing to say, you know, God, I want to listen. God, I want to hear. One of the greatest communication skills, anybody know what it is? Listening. Because if you're talking and there's nobody receiving, then the communication is broke down. It doesn't matter how much you talk if there's no one receiving what you're saying. And so the thing is we've got to work, when it comes to communication, at sending and receiving. And listening is the receiving side of that. And so here's just a couple things. And maybe in a daily discipline, I don't know how much time you spend in prayer or how much time you spend with God, but most believers, most followers, and most people who just claim to be a Christian don't spend much time in prayer anymore. Much time in prayer at all. Much time in God's Word. And some of the ways that God will speak to us is through His Word. Sometimes He'll speak through a circumstance. Sometimes He'll speak through our time of prayer. But we all live in a crazy pace, don't we? I mean, it's hard to find time with everything that's going on, with kids and ball games and practices and, you know, everything else that you got to do, grocery shopping, all the stuff that you've got to do, yard work, whatever it might, you can put your list and you can make a long list of all the things you've got to do. But here's the thing is all of those things are, you know, maybe they're important, but they're not the most important. And what we do is we rush through life. We work, we sleep. That takes up a pretty good portion of it. But we've got opportunities every day to spend time with God, but we have to be intentional about that, don't we? Intentional about slowing down. And just be honest with yourself, and you don't have to say anything out loud, or you don't have to raise a hand or anything like that. But let me ask you, like in the last 7 days, have you given God at least 5 minutes of focused time in prayer? And see, for most people in this room, they'd have to say no. But yet we claim to be followers of Christ. Jesus found time to meet with the Father. He found time to spend time in the Scriptures. And there may be some of you in here, maybe you say, yeah, on 5 minutes. What about have you spent 10 minutes in focused time and in prayer with God the Father? Maybe 15 minutes. There may be some of you that spend 20, 30, 40, maybe even an hour. But each day, don't you think that God, if he's truly God, that He deserves 5, 10 minutes of our day? Before we rush off into it, and we maybe go make mistakes, and then we want to come back. And then the times that we do come to Him, we're asking Him to forgive us for something we've done, or we're asking Him to bless something that we want, or to provide something that we feel like we need. And so what happens is, those are the times that we come to Him. It's with our wish list and our want list, whenever maybe we just need to hear from Him and get a little direction. Hey, God, where do You want me to go today? What do You want me to do today? So the tough thing for finding that 5 to 10 minutes is we have to eliminate distractions. How many of you guys have ever gone in for a quiet time? And you sit down, and you're going to have this great quiet time. And maybe you go out on the back porch, and you say, you know what, I'm going out on the back porch. And whenever you sit down, you begin to look around, and you go, you know what, man, I need to cut the yard. Golly, it's grass is growing. I need to weed that, you know, need to weed that flower bed. Or, you know what, I didn't realize that needed to be painted so much, you know, or whatever. And all of a sudden, all these things, and then you start thinking about, you know, all right, well, today is, you know, today's Thursday, and I've got this to go on today, and I've got this, and you start thinking about your schedule, and you count, and so your quiet time is quietly just slipping away. And so you've got all these distractions, all these things you're thinking about that you need to do, and you're probably thinking about, you know what, I probably need to go in there and vacuum now before I leave, or I need to make sure that the dishes are put away, or, you know, empty the dishwasher, whatever it might be. All of a sudden, those things start getting in your mind. You ever have that happen? When you're trying to be still and have a quiet time? It doesn't take long before all of a sudden all those distractions, and you get up and you think, man, that was a good quiet time. And all you did was think about all the stuff you had to do. You didn't meet with God. You didn't pray. You start thinking about all the stuff that you had to do. And so maybe you have to eliminate the distractions. Even a while ago, whenever I asked you to listen, maybe for some of you, whenever you closed your eyes, you could hear more. I can remember one time we had a guy named Dean Collar that was staying with us. He was a blind evangelist. And Dean and I had traveled around. I'd taken him hunting, and he would literally put his hand on my shoulder and follow me all through the woods. And I would always kind of try to give him a description of what was going on. And I can remember one night we were leaving my house, and he said, Mike, he said, you know, a while ago you were harsh with Lori in your words. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, when you said something, he said, I could hear in her that it hurt her spirit. And here's a guy who's blind, who can't see, but his ears are really good. And man, it just crushed me. He said, I could hear in her spirit. In other words, he could hear it in her voice that it had hurt her. So I went home and apologized to Lauren and said, hey, listen, I wasn't trying to be harsh or mean in my words. And I told her, I said, you know, Dean told me that he could hear that in your voice. And so sometimes whenever maybe we don't have our eyesight, maybe our hearing becomes more attuned. So maybe you have to, in your prayer time or your quiet time, just close your eyes. And maybe kind of close your eyes to some of the distractions that are around, your to-do list and the stuff that needs to be done. Just close your eyes. There's a reason that we close our eyes in prayer. There's a reason we bow our head in prayer. Sometimes it's to eliminate distractions. You know, I've always been one. I love to sit on the front. I love to sit up in the front of a service. You know one reason I do that? Is so that I don't have to deal with all the distractions of people around me. And when I say that, it's because I'll see people doing stuff and people moving around. And if I'm sitting on the front, I'm able to focus a little bit more. And so maybe you need to work at, say, eliminating some distractions so that you can hear from God. Second thing is we have to be still. That's probably the toughest thing. We're so antsy, we're so wired right now in our society and our culture to get things done and to be about things. Man, it's hard just to be still. The Bible says it clearly. It says, be still and know that I am God. And so if again, even a while ago, if you'll notice, I only asked you to be still and listen for just a few seconds. But for some of you, it seemed like, man, this is an awkwardly long time. It really wasn't. But just being still before God. And we're going to dive into that a little bit more as we move through the series. And this next one, we have to listen. And maybe I should have put, we have to want to listen. You've got to listen. And so the thing is saying, God, I want to be dialed into you. God, I want to hear your voice. What always amazes me is how a mom can be, you know, somewhere, and a kid can get hurt and cry, and they'll know that's their kid. Moms, y'all agree with that? You'll know that's your kid crying. You know, and all it takes, it can be 15 or 20 kids out there, and one kid fall and get hurt and start crying, you know that's your baby. Well, here's the thing. What if you were so dialed into God's voice that when he spoke, you knew it was him? And it's because with that baby, you put so much time into it. You listened, you cared, you connected with that child. And so the thing is, we've got to be willing to say, God, I want to connect with you. God, I want to hear from you. And so what if we were to put the same time and energy and effort into hearing God's voice like we do wanting to hear someone's voice? So we have to listen. This last statement here, it says, learning to listen and hearing God is a lifelong process. See, there's some of you that probably walk in here, and that's because of the culture that we're in. We want a 1-2-3, right? We're like, some of y'all showed it today, like, man, I'm hoping that Pastor Mike's going to tell me how to hear from God today so that I can walk out of here and I can hear from him today. Because I ain't got a whole lot of time for all this stuff, you know, and I need to get it done. You know, quick, got to get it done. And so what happens is we don't want to submit to the process. Kind of like losing weight. You know, losing weight, getting in shape. Everybody wants to take a pill so that you can lose weight and get in shape. It doesn't work that way. It's a process. It's eating the right amounts. It's eating the right stuff. It's exercising consistently. It's not a one-time boom and then it's done. It's the same way with listening. There's always going to be distractions. Here's the thing. It's daily discipline. Just meeting with God, it takes daily discipline. Exercise takes daily discipline. Eating the right things in the right amounts takes daily discipline, right? Exercise takes daily discipline. Meeting with God takes daily discipline. And so for some of us, we go, man, that's my weak spot. Man, I don't have any discipline. Well, then, hey, maybe meet with God and ask him to give you strength in that area. Hear from him what he tells you to do and maybe what to focus on. And so here's the thing. Just understand that listening, when I put that in there, learning to listen, that's not just to God, but to each other and to the people around us and to what's going on in life. Learning to listen is a lifelong skill and process. And hearing God is a lifelong process. We have to work at that. Some of the godliest people I've ever been around, Man, spend lots of time in prayer listening and hearing from God. They spend time in His Word. They spend time listening to what He has to say in the Scriptures already. Listening for that still, small voice. But you've got to want to listen. And you've got to be willing to slow down. And you've got to be willing to be intentional. Down here it talks about, says my next step today is to, maybe for some of you it's to set aside time to meet with God each day. 10 minutes. 10 minutes. I know you have to work. Some of you. I know you have to sleep. I know you have to eat. But I think that God deserves 10 minutes. If Jesus is truly the Savior of your life, if He's truly your Lord, then He deserves way more than that. But start somewhere. Set aside a time to meet with God each day for prayer and to spend some time in His Word. If it's only reading one verse, you say, God, I want to hear from You today. And then work on listening. All of us need to work on listening. I don't care if you're 80 years old. You know, your hearing's already bad anyway. But listening and hearing, two different things. I'm 50, I can say that. I've shot too many guns through the years when I was a kid without ear protection. And my kids always tell us, Dad, you can't hear anything. And I probably can't. But I hear what I want to hear sometimes. And so the thing is it's not just listening and hearing. Those are two different things. But listening for that still, small voice. And there's some of you today that I believe that God is speaking to you today. I believe He spoke to you today and He said, you know what? You're the one that is not a follower. Maybe He said, you are the one who just has church. You are the one who cannot hear My voice because you have not accepted My Son. And so if He spoke to you today and maybe He said, and you realize, you know what? That's me. You heard God speak and you heard God's Word and all of a sudden you realize, you know what? That's me. Then I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to accept Him as Lord and Savior. There may be others of you in here that you heard God speak. And He said, you know what? You're not spending any time with Me. You're not spending any time in prayer. And so there's I believe that God's speaking today. I really do. I believe He's speaking to some of you about a relationship that you're in. He's saying, you know what? That relationship needs to end. That relationship needs to change. So I believe that God is speaking to some of you today. But the thing is we've got to be willing to hear Him and want to hear Him. I want to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes. And just ask. Say, God, what do You want to say? God, what are You speaking to me today? If you're here, and maybe you realize, you know what? Man, I don't ever hear from God. I don't think I really know Him. I believe there's a God. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe a lot of things. But I think we're just acquaintances. And I want a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus. And if that is your need today, and I want to encourage you to, with all the faith that you have, put your faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who left His heavenly privilege to come here to speak to us, to teach us, and to show us the way to a right relationship with God. He paid for your sins, whatever sins you've committed. And I guarantee you, everyone in this room has committed sins. But He paid for your sins. He bled out on the cross. He washed you with His blood, if you'll receive Him. And so, with all the faith that you have, He said, Jesus, I ask You to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, to save me, to change me, to wash me, and to use me for Your purposes, God. I give You my life. And so, if that is your decision, with all the faith that you have put your faith in Christ. He says that He will save you. He will change you. He'll mold you to become more and more like Christ. Maybe you're here today and, man, you've been a believer for a long time, but you have drifted so far. Jesus doesn't even get a part of your day hardly. You realize, you know what? You need to be intentional about spending time with Him. You know that discipline is one of your greatest struggles. God spoke that to you today. then what are you going to do about it? What adjustments are you going to make? Maybe you need to spend more time in Him, calling on Him for power, calling on Him for prayer, calling on Him through prayer for strength. Jesus, who was the Son of God, spent time in prayer asking the Father to use Him, filling Him with what He needed to accomplish each task. He was about the Father's business. We, as His followers, should be the same. No matter what God may be speaking to you today, my encouragement is to respond and to trust Him and to follow Him. Father, thank You for meeting with us today. I thank You for speaking to us, God, that God, no matter where we are in life, and God, no matter where we are even in the calendar, God, You still speak. You still draw us near. God, you still want to communicate with us. You love us enough to die for us. And I know You love us enough to teach us and to communicate and to speak to us. God, speak through this series. Draw us close. God, I pray that You'd speak to me. Teach me. Speak to me, God, throughout this series. God, we just want to hear from You. We want to glorify You. God, we want You to be the one communicating to us. In Jesus' name.